Today's reading is from Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 to 3 and 19 to 24, and is on page 218 of the Bibles. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you, and put them down at the place where you stay tonight. On the 10th day of the first month, the people went up from the Jordan and camped at Gilgal on the eastern border of Jericho. And Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken out of the Jordan. He said to the Israelites, 'In the future, when your descendants ask their parents, what do these stones mean? Tell them, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over. He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God.'"
Thanks. Should we just pray? Father God, I pray that you would speak to all of us today. I pray that my words and my preparation might be useful and not get in the way of what you want to say to us. Be with us now as we seek to hear from you and learn from you. Amen. So, honouring the past. Well, as the old joke says, the problem with the past is it's all in history, is it's all in the past. And history is full of stories about people and places, some good, some bad. This photo is from a recent holiday with Gary and Donna Lee, and we were, I can't remember where we were, but there was this Purbeck Island, is that right? Is that something like that, yeah? And we, you know, as you're just wandering along, you just come across some Vikings, you know. And these people get together to build a huge society to honour the past. I mean, there were hundreds of Vikings and Saxons all kitted out, chopping each other up and everything. It was great fun. And today we're going to spend some time thinking about the benefits of looking at the past and remembering what God has done for us. And then actually spend some time telling people about it. And we're going to do that in a bit of a different way, which I hope will make this Sunday morning a little bit more interactive than just being spoken to. So, and I'm quite pleased that we're trying to do things differently. You know, we're trying. You know, while we're in this interregnum period, it would be really easy just to button down the hatches and do things the way we've always done them. But I think we need to try and do things new and find new ways of having discussion. So that's my preamble to say I'm going to ask you to be involved later on. And I'm actually going to ask you to think about what God has done in your life and then invite you to share your story with some of the about some of the stories of what God has done in our lives. And we're going to bring the kids back early and we're going to spend some time praying for them, praying with them, because we want to be a blessing to them and we want them to be a blessing to us. And we're going to do that because I think this reading today is really clear that we do need to take time to remember the good things of God and to teach those stories to the next generation. And so before we do that, I just very briefly want to highlight three reasons why I think we need to spend time remembering the stories of what God has done for us. And I want us to see that God's story is part of our story, and that our story gives us strength for today, and our story gives hope for tomorrow. So let's just start by looking at how God's story is our story. We see it right here in verse 1 that Caroline read for us, where the Lord said to Joshua. So this really clearly is God's story. It's the Lord who asks us to remember what he's done for us. And God doesn't ask us to do anything that isn't good for us. It may be hard work, but it is good for us. Much like going to the dentist. Wherever Sarah is. There you go. Okay. It's not easy to stop and remember, but it is good and it is useful. And when you get into the habit of it, it can actually be fun. And Jesus also asked us to take time to remember. You know, we've just done that in communion. When Jesus himself said, "This is my body. It's broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This cup is the new covenant of my blood. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." And that tradition, that ritual, in a good way, that practice has stayed with us for thousands of years. And our stories, I think, have a real impact when we remember some of these specific things about what God has done for us. You see, in this story here, God is very specific about taking 12 stones right from the middle of the river where the priests have stood. And if you read this whole chapter 4, it gives you more detail of that. But I mean, you know, they could have just picked up some stones by the side of the river. You know, they've got through, hey, just pick up some stones, bring them over, let's just put them together, we'll put a sign up, and off we go. But God is really specific about saying, take stones from the very center of the river where the priests have stood and bring them together to make a memorial. And as you read more about that, you know, Joshua chooses one person from each of the tribes, and because I know what guys are like, I can imagine that these stones got bigger as people pick them up. You know, I've got a bigger stone than you. But they want a specific stone from the center of the river. And so I think it's important at times that we focus and think specifically what has God done for us. Because sometimes we get a little bit lost into blasé land. Yeah, you know, God did some good stuff. Yeah, I mean, he saved me. But, you know, sometimes thinking specifically about what God has done for us is important. So later on, I'm going to ask you to think specifically about what God has done for us, because God's story is our story. It is our story, and we're all unique. So we've all got a unique story, and I think we need to confidently share that. Whether it be something big, huge, like the Israelites I've had here, or something small that you're thankful for. God's story is our story. But now let's look at how our story gives us strength for today. Okay. In the midst of everything that is happening in this story of Israel, God asks his people to stop and take a minute and remember. And just put this into context. So the entire Israel has just crossed the Jordan, okay, miraculously, into enemy land. And they're about to face a huge challenge. Now, some of you, has anybody been to New Wine this last week? Yeah, and you get to the campsite, there's a whole heap of stuff to do, isn't there? You've got to rig the tent, Paul's here, you've got to get your air pump out, yeah? You've got to pump up your tent and do all that business. There's stuff to do. Can you imagine doing that in enemy territory? You know, you've got to have guards. There's all sorts of stuff going on. They could have been attacked at any point. They had to set up camp. They had to find food. There's lots of other stuff that they could be concerned about. But God says to them, stop. Right now. Take a moment now and remember what I did for you. Not when you've got it all set up. Take a moment now and remember what I did for you. And that process of stopping to remember gave them strength to follow through and fulfill the plans that God had for them. And here we are at the start of the week. Many of us have got, you know, maybe back to work or a busy week ahead, or maybe this week is the start of what seems like a very long summer school holidays, and you're thinking, how am I going to make it to September? Well, right at the start of this week, this summer break, this time we're at, I think God is asking us all to stop in the midst of it and to remember him. To take time to remember his goodness. To take time to remember specifically what he's done for us. And so for Israel, I think taking up these stones and laying them down is like an act of commitment, of rebalancing that relationship with him. You know, that whole thing of being and doing. That whole idea of, if you think of the New Testament and Jesus meets and there's Mary and Martha, there's doing stuff and there's taking time to be with God. I think here God is saying to his people, take time to put that back into balance, to get that settled again. And in all of this, to remember God, to remember his goodness. And it's an act of commitment. And maybe, I don't know, maybe our hearts are a bit like these stones were for the Israelites. They're hard, and maybe they're heavy, and we need to lay them down and remember what God has done for us. Because in the book of Ezekiel, it tells us that God wants to give us a new heart, and he wants to put a new spirit in you, it says. God says, I will remove a heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees. You will be my people and I will be your God. Israel's story gave them strength for the days ahead. And our story gives strength for today. And God is asking the Israelites to remember so that they get strength because they've been through tough times. And he's asking them to remember because he's going to take them beyond what they can do in their own strength. And I think God wants to strengthen us so we can go past ourselves and be dependent upon him. God wants to strengthen us so that we'll achieve more than we can do if we just rely on ourselves. And I think that when we stop and remember what God has done for us, we're reminded that our limitation should not define our expectation. Our limitation should not define our expectation. And I don't know if you've ever been at the edge of what you can do yourself. If you've ever kind of got to a situation and you just think, I just can't do anymore. That's it, God. That's it. I'm empty. I can't take it any further. I think God rejoices in those moments. And that's when he says, amen, great. I'm not saying God's a Pentecostal, but he says, amen, because I've got this. When we say, I can't go any further, he says, great, put it down, I'll pick it up. And God is saying to Israel here, stop and remember, because I have saved you, because I'm going to do mighty things for you. And God is saying to us this morning, stop and remember, because I want to do mighty things for you. So God's story is our story. So stop and remember, because I have saved you and because I'm going to do mighty things through you, says God. And God is also saying to us, stop and remember, because I want to do mighty things for you. And our story also gives that hope for tomorrow. And that's my final point, really. To think about what God has done for us, because it does give hope for tomorrow. You know, our story, when we tell it, it is an encouraging story. I've honestly never heard anybody who's shared some of their story and somebody's gone, well, that was rubbish. It just doesn't happen. Our story gives hope. It's exciting. It's rewarding. It's encouraging. It's empowering. And God is asking us to remember and to celebrate what God has done for us. We saw it in verse 24 where it says, the peoples, all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful. So if you need a purpose as to why you share your story, it's said later on. When your descendants ask their parents, tell them. Tell them so that the world will know that God is powerful and it will teach the next generation. And God wants us to teach the next generation what he's done for us. Whether you've got children yourself or not, Whether you are a young adult, God wants us to teach the next generation. You know, he's speaking here to the entire community of Israel. And it's their responsibility, just as it's our responsibility. I was thinking about this, and I think sometimes it's like you're battling an uphill tide. You know, in KT2, we're part of this, it's quite still a postmodern society, isn't it? And we've got a very individualistic culture, where the same words in different parts of culture have different meaning. Marriage, you know, has different meanings nowadays. Love has different meanings. What's fair has different meanings. Poor has a different meaning. Right has a different meaning. Responsibility has a different meaning. Choice has a different meaning. And values are really a pick and mix. And tolerance, when we're encouraged to be tolerant, what we're really encouraged to do is say, well, anything goes. And where freedom means an absence of guidance. You know, you can't tell me what to do. I'm free. And society tries to teach us what normal really is. You know, that your Facebook status is the indication of your life status. That if I get enough signatures or followers, then I really must be right. That what's in the news must be accepted as true. But I believe that these 12 hard stones represent for Israel the cold, harsh reality and the undeniable truth that only God saved them, and only God promised them a future, and that story, God's story, is worth telling, and it's worth telling to their children. It's worth saying, we're here because God saved us for an amazing purpose, and I believe God is calling us to stand strong with our children and for our children and to teach them that God has saved us as he can save them, and that the work God has done for us, he wants to do in them. And just as God led his children safely across the shore of the Jordan River, so God wants to lead our children safely through the rivers of life into a wonderful future. And I am a huge Bear Grylls fan. Okay, and I was watching last night, we were on catch up, we were back from travels, and I was watching, and he was out with some famous dude. And they come to a river, you know, and it's the whole thing, you know, the guy's, oh, I'm scared, bear. And you know, nothing's ever going to happen. It just wouldn't get filmed, you know. And Bear's got it covered. And in the same way, as Bear was leading this famous dude across the river, God wants to lead us through all the trials and the tribulations. And God is even better than Bear. And I know that it's not easy taking time to remember, but it is crucial. And I know it's not easy in this life, and so many things get in the way and clash with church. It really is hard to stay focused. And I don't think that we should aim to go back to the early 1900s where there was nothing happened on a Sunday morning, so you pretty much had no choice but to go to church. But, you know, I do think there's a challenge for ourselves there to think about ourselves and, you know, how we support, encourage, and commit our children in their faith, in their knowledge and growth, and their relationship with Jesus. There's loads of things, you know, challenging that. Their time is short, and there's lots of opportunities and great reasons not to bring them to church and develop their relationship. But I think it's a tough question, but it's for us to think about as well. Our stories are words of hope. They're words of life. They're words of joy. They're words of purpose and meaning. And so I want you to think about, what would you share about your story to give hope to the next generation? So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to ask us to take a little bit of time and remember what God has done for you. And we're going to take a moment and just listen. And then we're going to break into threes and fours, into a little huddle. And I'm going to ask you to be brave and be willing to share a little bit of your story with some of those people around you. And I'm going to do something, quite a few unconventional things here. So if you're a regular here and you're a Christian, can I ask you, just stick your hand up in the air, okay? Great. So if you're new, okay, and you don't come here regularly, you're not yet a Christian, can I ask you, just invite you, we want you to be a part of this, to hear some of these stories. Just go and sit with some of those people who had their hands up. Yeah? And I'm going to ask you to get, in a minute, I'm going to ask you to get into just threes or fours. Think about some of the things I've said, and just be willing to share some of your stories, specifically of what God has done in you. It may be that he stopped the Jordan River so you could cross it. Brilliant. It may be something slightly less dramatic, and you just want to share thankfulness about something that God has done for you. So I'm just going to give us a moment to think about that, and I'll say a quick prayer, and then I'm going to invite you to share, get into threes or fours, and then I'm going to do a little bit of a bit of a run around and see if there's any stories to share. The kids are going to come back. We're going to say a bit of a prayer for them, share some if there's any highlights, and ask them to pray for us as well, because we really need it. So let's just take a moment in silence. Father God, would you make us mindful of the great things you have done for us, the great things you have done in us, the great things you have done through us. And would you give us the courage to share those stories with each other in this safe environment and with other people that we interact with. Amen. So please get yourselves into little huddles. Share your stories. And I'll be back in a minute. If I can invite you to bring your conversations to a close. And what I'm going to do, if it's all right, is I'm not going to go around with a roving mic, because I don't know if we have one. But what I'd like to do is just see, maybe if there's just a short one or two word phrase that you heard or that summarizes what you said, it would be great if we could just call it out, and if we haven't heard it, I'll just repeat it. If it's all right, I'm going to... without having contracted with them, I'm just going to say, I heard over here in this group about God's faithfulness while people were moving, and God's faithfulness through developing relationships. And I also heard about fantastic healing, which was just brilliant. Okay. So if anybody else has got maybe a couple of words they just want to shout out. So provision and guidance and healing. Fantastic, fantastic, good. Another group? Go on, be brave.
We talked about God's creation.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that creation and the joy in creation and the unchangingness over it. Go ahead, over at the back. Great. So God making people better, and also the relationship and the family here at St. Paul's, which is also my experience as well. Yeah. Others? Any more? Go on, Fee.
We were just talking about how God sometimes
will do that. Great. Did you all hear that? Yeah. Fantastic. Great, the kids are starting to come back in, which is a good sign. And I just want to, the phrase I heard in my group as well was, gosh, I never knew that. That's amazing. Yeah. And I think as we share those stories and we tell those stories, we have that reaction. Wow, that is amazing. And so I encourage you to keep on encouraging each other. Any other final bits? Go ahead. How God has given us courage to do more for ourselves. To do things for ourselves. Yeah, brilliant. Great. So I see the kids are coming back in. Are you coming back in? Oh. All right, okay. They've just got ice cream sticks, I think. Go ahead. One more at the back there. Great. Great, so our health and our fitness and God's support in that sense. Great. Well, maybe I'll just pray for that, and then while the kids come back in, yeah? So we just pray over those stories. Father, thank you that you have and you do amazing things in us. Thank you for the impact that it has on others when we share what you're doing in us. Would you give us the courage and the enthusiasm and the confidence to sensitively tell other people about what you're doing in us, and to encourage that next generation, and not just keep things to ourselves and just assume that that's the normal, that you'd encourage us to share our story and see the reaction that it has and the good impact it has in other people's lives. Amen.